Blog Talk Radio.
Feels so good to make it this far. And I didn't think I could take it so long. There were days I wanted to quit. And I said, surely this is it. But I held on. And I've watched as so-called friends turned and walked away. And it hurt so much. I didn't have words to say. But even when my day turns to night and nothing seems just right, Lord, I thank you for my life. For my life, Lord, I thank you for every victory in you I've seen, and all the moments I know, Lord, it was you who kept me. So I thank you for my life. And I've watched you take my family from there to here. And when times were a little rough, God, I know you were near. Thank you, Jesus. And the moments I thought I'd fail, I was reminded of your nails. So I held on. And if I never live to see another day, there's nothing I would change or take away. I've had so many ups that they far outweigh my downs. Lord, I thank you for my life. For my life, Lord, I thank you for every victory in you. Oh, and for the moment, God, I know you kept me, yeah. Lord, I just thank you for my life. I realize some didn't make it. I could have been one of the ones who lost my way. There were times, Lord, I know I almost went crazy. Whoa, but I'm still here, oh, with my life. So, for my life, Lord, I thank you for every victory. You kept me. Yes, Lord, it was you who kept me. So I thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for my life. It may not be all that I'd hoped for, and every dream has not yet been realized. But to see your face one day, God, I know it's all gonna be worth it. Yeah, yeah, Lord. So I thank you for, thank you for every mountain, every valley, God, everything that you brought me. Jesus for my life.
Good evening, everyone. We greet each of you in the matchless name of Jesus. Thank you for tuning in and listening to A Time of Reflection with New Destiny Ministries. We truly appreciate your fellowship and tremendous support. I am your co-host, Sister Ruby Lowry, with Sister Faithful Spates and seating with our founder and host, Evangelist Adrian Bernard, is away at this time. A Time of Reflection aired live Monday through Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Central Time, and 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Saturday segment is hosted by Minister Billy Burns out of APEC, North Carolina, and their subject is They Overcame, and you can find it out of Revelations chapter 12:11. And it airs at 5 p.m. Pacific time and 8 a.m. Eastern time. Join us for early Sunday morning prayer at 7 a.m. Pacific time. The time is for about 30 minutes. Our call number for all segments is area code 858-683-1334. Again, 858-683-1334. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 5702, Stockton, California, 95205. Our email address is newdestiny54@yahoo.com. You are welcome to visit our archives on broadtalkradio.com and search for New Destiny Ministries. Should you desire to listen to any of our previous broadcasts or the current show that is airing live as we speak, Visit our website at www.newdestinyministry.com, and there is an online giving for your convenience. And now we normally have scripture, so we've been keeping this scripture all this week. So if you have your Bibles, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 12. If not, you can write it down. And I'm coming out the King James Version. Verse 12 say, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering." Verse 13, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Verse 14, "And above all these things, put on charity, love, which is the bond of perfectionness." 15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts," H-A-R-T-S, "to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, in all teaching, and admonishing one another in songs and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord." Verse 17, "And for whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. Now we're going to the man of God, Elder Richard Gates from Oklahoma City, to open us up with prayer. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. My soul love Jesus, my soul loves Jesus, my soul loves Jesus, bless his name, my soul loves Jesus. Hallelujah. My soul loves Jesus. My soul loves Jesus. Bless his name. He's a wonder.
Ah, thank you.
In my soul, he's a wonder. In my soul, he's a wonder. In my soul, bless his name. He's a wonder. In my soul, he's a wonder. In my soul, he's a wonder. In my soul, bless his name. And so, Father, we honor you today. We give your name praise and glory. We thank you, O God. Because you're the God above all gods, King above all kings, Lord above all lords. And there is none like you. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. There really ain't nobody like you. Yes, Lord. We thank you for being our Father. Yes, Lord, which art in heaven. We bless and we magnify your name, and we give you glory today. We honor you, yes, Lord. We bow down before you. We magnify your name. We glorify your name. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, for your awesome, sweet presence. Yes, God. We thank you, oh, God, for hallelujah, God. We thank you just for another day, another opportunity, God, just to give you praise and thanks. Yes, Lord. Just for another time, yes, Lord, for another opportunity, God, to worship you in spirit and in truth. God, we thank you, God, for this time that we have, yes, Lord, just to kiss your face, yes, Lord, to bow down before you, yes, Lord, hallelujah, with humble hearts, yes, Lord, hallelujah, God, and with centered mind, God, we are mindful of what you have done for us. We are mindful, God, how far you brought us. Thank you, God, for everything that you've done. God, we give you glory today. God, we give you honor today. God, we magnify you. God, we bless you with a grateful heart. Yes, Lord. God, we give you glory today. God, we magnify you. God, how can we not praise you? God, for the great and mighty things that you've done. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you for bringing us out to bring us in. God, we bless your name. God, for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for your spirit, oh God. We thank you for your word that is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And now, God, as we sit, God, around, yes, Lord, your throne, we pray, oh God, that the seed of the word of God that is about to be sown, God, will be sown in good ground on our heart. Yes, Lord, that we might bring forth fruit 100-fold unto your glory. God, get glory out of our life in the name of Jesus. Get glory out of us. Hallelujah, by the fruit that shall remain by the planting of the seed of the word of God. In the sight of the Lord rebuke you. The blood of Jesus testify against you. How we overcome you by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. God, we bless your name today, and we give you glory for the man of God that shall bring forth the word. God, anoint him with power and clarity in the name of Jesus, God. Give him the anointing that makes preaching and teaching easy in the name of Jesus, God. God, and we as your people, God, we need ears to hear, hearts to receive, and the mind to obey. And God, we give you praise right now for Evangelist Bernard. Yes, Lord, bless the woman of God and elevate her, sustain her by your power in the name of Jesus. And God, every listener, God, let them come, yes, Lord, with a mind to hear, yes, Lord, what the Spirit says unto the church. And God, for this we will give you glory, honor, and praise. And God, we bless you even right now for what you're about to do. God, Spirit of the living God, have your way with us, through us, and by us, in the name of Jesus. Have your divine way, God, and we will praise you, and we will glorify you. Yes, Lord, for the life that you give and for the life we receive, in Jesus' name and for his sake, and we give you glory right now. Hallelujah, God. Amen and amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Bless you today, God. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Ella Gates. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord for that that anointed opening prayer and even that anointed song. How many know he's a wonder? Hallelujah. He is a wonder in
Thank
our
you.
Souls. Amen, amen. Thank you, Ella Gates. Amen. We just want to take a few minutes and just thank our host and your co-host, our Sister Faithful, and thank God for Sister Ruby standing in our stead for almost 2 weeks. Hallelujah. So I done came on back out. I'm still vacationing, but hey, ain't no vacation when you have an assignment. Hallelujah. You have to be ready at all times. So we just thankful for them hosting in our stead, and I tell you, it's been a blessing. I'm just marveling at how the Lord has been blessing in this series, the Acts of the Apostles. And I say it to Winnie even on this morning, hallelujah, if you haven't received anything from chapter 1 all the way until today, chapter 28, hey, your eyes ought to be open. If not, something is wrong, hallelujah. You should be feeling better about yourself, better about the Lord, better about life, better about your environment, and better about your future. How many know we have a future? Amen, and that's in Christ Jesus. So I thank God for Sister Faithful and Sister Ruby. They have carried this broadcast. I tell you, I wasn't even on last week, I don't think at all. But, you know, because of some life situations, our speakers wasn't available on Monday and Tuesday. Hallelujah. But I tell you, we have a man that's here today. Hey, glory to God. And for those of you, we have some first-time listeners that never heard this awesome young man that is going to wrap up this series, the Acts of the Apostles. And I thought it was very, very befitting that the Lord have allowed him to be free today. And I wouldn't have asked nobody else. Hallelujah. He is well worthy of doing this honor of closing out this series and summing up the book of Acts. Amen. And I'm going to read just a little bit about him. I call him, and this is my cousin, y'all, and I call him the alphabet man because he has so many degrees, you know. He get me confused with all of his stuff. But anyway, he's an awesome young man. He loves the Lord. He's been baptized at a real young age, and he's the associate pastor that sits up underneath his father. So I'm going to read this little brief bio on him. It says, District Elder Winston Singleton was born on January the 14th, 1965, in Los Angeles, California. He is the eldest son of Bishop Winston Singleton Sr. and First Lady Norma Jean Singleton. Elder Singleton has been married to Jenny Singleton for over 20 years. He became an ordained minister in August 1997 at the PCAF, meaning the Pentecostal Churches of the Apostolic Faith National Convention in Detroit, Michigan. He currently serves as a district elder of the state of Nevada. In June 2009, he was elected chairman of the California and Western States Council. Currently, he is, again, the assistant pastor of Greater Bethlehem Temple Church under his father in Inglewood, California. District Elder Singleton is currently an instructor at EM International Bible University in Norwalk, California, where he teaches courses in Old Testament and New Testament survey. He has an Associate of Science. Again, y'all, here comes some of these, just a few. I didn't list all of his degrees on here, but he has an Associate of Science in Electronics Engineering. He has a Bachelor of Science and an Associate of Theology. He also has a Bachelor of Theology, and he also has a Doctorate of Divinity, and he also has a Master's. So I didn't list all of these degrees. He's the alphabet man. Affectionately known as Winnie, he engages people with a warm, sincere, and godly attribute, that embraces the body of Christ. His desire is to empower the saints to pursue their divine calling in the kingdom of God. He is also the founder and the CEO of Greater Enrichment Ministries in Los Angeles, California, where this enterprise, it entails giving instruction to the total man, naturally, physically, emotionally, psychologically, whatever you need help in, this young man is able to assist you in that area. So it gives me great pleasure to introduce to some and present to others our speaker for this hour to wrap up this Acts of the Apostles, and that's none other than Dr. Winston L. Singleton, Jr. Amen. God bless you, Elder Singleton.
Praise the Lord, everyone, and praise the Lord to the wonderful New Destiny family and those that have been associated with her, Minister Adrian Bernard. I'm very excited about being a part of this wonderful ministry because it's all about empowering the total person, but also helping others to go to their destiny. And I thank the Lord for being one of the persons here that was called upon to speak. You know me, I never lost the words. I came out of my mother's womb screaming and talking. So now at the age of 48, I guess it's just something that's second nature. But I don't want to just be talking. I want to be able to have something to say. And I thank the Lord because he has put the word of God in me, and so therefore I'm able to speak in boldness concerning of Jesus Christ and the gospel. I thank the Lord. First of all, give honor to God, who's the head of our life. I want to give honor to the founder of this wonderful ministry, Evangelist Adrian Bernard, and to all those that was a great help to her and assisting her in this wonderful ministry. Everybody brings something to the table when it comes to serving the Lord. And if we can walk in our calling and walk in our lane and do the necessary things that the Lord instructed us to do, we can all really rejoice together because we're all helping to bring the kingdom of God into the lives of people. And that's what it's all about. I always say, if you don't like people, then get out of the ministry. If you don't like to enhance other people, stay where you are. If you don't want to take people to another level, then that's okay. Work on yourself, but don't get into this, because this job is requiring that we look for souls and to help other people to maintain a good course of life. I'm very excited today because the series of the book of Acts, I think Acts is one of the more powerful books in the Bible. In fact, I think it's one of the most important books that need to be recognized in the Bible. I've noticed that over the years that mainstream churches particularly, you know, they kind of go into the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, for those scholars out there talking about, because those particular books are particular, you know, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, mostly mirror one another, and they speak more of what Jesus said and did than with the book of John. He has a different portrayal of Jesus. But anyway, we tend to go to those books, the Gospels, and then we kind of pass up at the book of Acts, and we go right into the book of Romans and the other epistles. And I want to encourage you to take some time out and go into the book of Acts, because the book of Acts talks about the Acts of the Apostles, but it's also a foundational book. For the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, verse 20, and all of you may know this, that we are built upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. In other words, what they did, we must do. And the Bible also mentioned about that all the scriptures are inspired and that it's profitable in all the various areas of instruction and reproof and rebuke and correction, and it furnished us to be the people of God we need to be. But the problem is today, we don't really look at the examples of the Bible. We look at Daniel, we look at David, we look at some of the others, we look at Moses, and look at Joshua. But a lot of us need to go into the book of Acts where we can look at the people like Stephen and look at all these different people, how God used Peter and Paul and Aquila and Priscilla, you know, of some of the people that we'll be talking about today. There's exciting things in the Word of God that's in the book of Acts. And if we can go into the book of Acts, we can understand the epistles. We can understand the Pauline epistles. In other words, letters that Paul wrote. There's about 13 of them in all, plus the book of Hebrews. And then you can look at the general letters or epistles, letters that Paul did not write, such as James and 1st and 2nd Peter and, you know, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and Jude and Revelation. So therefore, Acts, I call it the cradle of the origin of the church. We're talking about the beginning of the church. We're talking about the missionary mindedness of the church. We're talking about the excitement that the church went on. And, you know, we see here that in the book of Acts, we see here that it's an addition of Jesus commissioning the disciples to spread the gospel, the kingdom, a kingdom message. You notice what he said in the Gospels in the book of Mark, chapter number 16, verse 15. He told the disciples in Mount of Olivet, we're talking about the 11 because Judas killed himself, and Matthias was not yet included into the forward to chapter 1 of Acts, which we'll go into that a little bit. He said, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature or creation. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name ye shall do this and that. And so, therefore, the disciples, they went on and became apostles. They continued on the work that Jesus gave to them to do. Now, if you notice what's happening here, we understand that the book of Acts also goes into the work that what Jesus did. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, that Christ led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? Not just to hold a title. He said for the perfecting of the saints, for the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of Christ. But I said that to say this. Before Jesus left, when he sent back the Comforter, he broke off a piece of himself, because the Bible makes mention that Jesus held he holds the position as an apostle. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 3, verse 1, that Christ is the high priest and apostle of our profession. We find out in the Bible that Jesus is a prophet. We find out in the Bible that Jesus went forth evangelizing, preaching the word, that he said, repent and hear ye the gospel. And he began to preach about the kingdom of God is at hand. So he was an evangelist. We find out that he was also a kind of, you can say, a pastor, an overseer, because he told Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me more than these? He said, yes, Lord. He said, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my lamb. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. So we know he's a great shepherd. The Bible says that his sheep know his voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And then we know that he was a great teacher. The King James used to call him master and rabbi, but we know he was a teacher. So we see that Jesus broke a piece off of himself. I know there's a song in the world that says, break me off a piece of your love. But Jesus broke a piece of himself into the book of Acts, where the apostles were using the works. And you know what Jesus said also? He said that you would do works that I did, and greater works that you will do. And we found out in the book of Acts, before we really go on there deeply, we found out that the apostles did something that Jesus didn't do. At least that was recorded. We found out that Peter's shadow passed by and was healing folks. And so that lets you know, Jesus said, you can do the works that I've done, and you can do greater works. And there was works that the apostles did. But first of all, what we want to do, I really want us to concentrate. When you look in the book of Acts, we find out that it's the continuation. We find out that Luke, it's the second volume of Luke's writings. We find out that Luke wrote two volumes. He wrote, first of all, the book that's in his name, the book of St. Luke, the Gospel according to Luke, which he wrote. And then his second, which is the saga after that, the continuation, is the book of Acts. So the book was written by Luke, which was a companion to Paul. So therefore, and I'm going to tell you something. If you want to know, we know that the book of Mark and the book of Luke, Luke and Mark are not apostles. I repeat, Luke and Mark are not apostles. They were companions. One was a companion of Peter, and the other was a companion of Paul. Now, if you want to know who are the true apostles, you go to the book of Acts chapter number 1, verse 13, and in the upper room they would name those 13 apostles, at least 12 apostles. We find out later on, I think around about verse number 28, when they included Matthias. The Bible said the lot fell on Matthias, and he took the place of Judas. And then the other women that were there, including the Mary, mother of Jesus. Yes, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in the book of Acts, waiting for the promise of the Father. But what I want to do before we go in further into the summation of the book of Acts, I want to let you know a scripture that really, a verse in the book, in chapter number 1, really stirred me up, was verse number 8 of chapter number 1 of Acts. It says here, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." I want you to take note of that scripture, because Jesus made known of that, which was actually prophecy for the totality of the book of Acts. He said, "You'll be witnesses of me after you receive power in these various locations, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Well, we find out that the Jerusalem witness starts from Acts chapter number 1, verse 1 to chapter number 8, verse 4. That was the Jerusalem witness. In other words, everything was happening in Jerusalem. Then we find out from chapter number 8, verse 5, to chapter number 12, verse 25, we find out the witness was in the Judea and Samaria. Witnesses came along during that time. Then we go into chapter number 13 to chapter number 28, which is the witnesses of the uttermost parts of the earth. Paul took it Billy Graham style and began to take it throughout the Roman Empire and take it throughout Asia Minor. He left Jerusalem and began to preach in the uttermost parts of the earth. So now we see that all of this here from chapter number 1 to chapter number 28, that the fulfillment of chapter number 1, verse 8 of Acts has been fulfilled. Amen? Amen. So now we're going to go on and talk about, just briefly, going through all the chapters, going, and it might be some things that's in there that you might have saw, but I'm not going through the whole thing. I'm summarizing. So first of all, we start off with chapter number 1. First of all, we need to know that two main people was in this field. We have Peter, James, John, and Paul. Peter particularly was the apostle of the Jews, and Paul was appointed to be the apostle to the Gentiles or non-Jews. We see here in chapter number 1, we see that it starts with the ascension, Christ going up. And the Bible told him, by the way, the angel said, "Why, ye men of Galilee, why are you standing up here gazing in the heavens? That same Jesus you see him going up is coming back in like manner." And we find out that Jesus instructed them, as he was going to go up, to be in the right hand of the Father, for them to go and wait 10 days in Jerusalem, which was a Sabbath day journey from the Mount of Olivet, the top of the Mount of Olivet, all the way down into the upper room, was a Sabbath day journey, which was a half a mile to a quarter, three quarters of a mile from the mountain down into the upper room. And they waited 10-day period to wait for the promise of the Father, because Jesus said, "If I don't go away, the Comforter cannot come." And he said, "I'm going to pray to the Father that he send another Comforter in my name." So we find out here in chapter number 1 that they were waiting in the upper room for 10 days, but we find out that he said in verse 8 that you should receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and as I just mentioned, you will be witnesses in these various areas. And we find out also that they named the 12 apostles, or the 11 apostles at the time, including Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we find out, too, there that it was 120 that was in the room. We find out that Matthias was selected to be a part of the witness of Jesus' ministry. In other words, he took the place of Judas Iscariot that betrayed Christ and killed himself. So now it's setting up the stage. Chapter number 1 is setting up the stage for the Pentecostal experience to occur. And we find out in chapter number 2 now, the birth of the church was now in session. For the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all in one place in one accord, and suddenly suddenly a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And he said, it appeared to them clothing of tongues as a fire. And then we begin to experience the power of God coming. He said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And then the supernatural language came about. And then the quotation of the apostles and the prophets. We're talking about particularly the prophecy of Joel came forth when Peter was preaching the message, because the people from downstairs, they was observing the Pentecost, the Pentecost feast, but they know that there was noise being shut abroad upstairs. And they went to investigate, and some said, wow, they're speaking our language. These are Galileans. They don't know our language, where we come from. But then others began to mock them and said they must be off that new wine. So they went upstairs to see how drunk they were. But Peter, to their dismay, came to them and said, we're not drunk as ye suppose, seeing that it's the third hour of the day or 9 a.m. He said this was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and our sons and daughters shall prophesy. The old men shall dream dreams. The young men shall see visions. So he began to preach the message of the gospel. Then he went on in verse number 21. He repeated what Paul said in the book of Romans. He said in the book of Acts chapter number 2, verse 21, he said that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we found out that the power of the church came about. And the Bible said in the book of Acts chapter number 2, verse 42, he said, and they went steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They began to go to house, breaking up bread and prayer and supplication. And the Bible said that all believed in the apostles' doctrine, were together, and had all things common. And the Bible said that from that time on, he said, the church was added daily. The Lord added to the church daily such as to be saved. We saw a growth, a massive growth. If you want to have a mega church, if you want to have a mega ministry, if you want to have a mega move of God, I dare you to preach this gospel of Jesus Christ as the apostle did in chapter number 2, and your church and your ministry and your move of God will grow.
My God.
All right. Let's go on to chapter number 3. We see that the power of God was manifested in Jerusalem. We find out that Peter and John particularly went to the hour of prayer in the third on the ninth hour of the day, which was 3 p.m., and he found a quick and to the Son of God, and he saw a man there at the called Beautiful. They saw a man that was lame from his mother's womb. They left him there daily. They brought him to the gate, and he was asking for alms. But I want to let you know, the apostles, they didn't have to have money because they had Jesus. And so he went up to the man, and the man said, Peter told the man, he said, look on us, Peter and John. He said, look on us. And the man looked upon him as though he was looking for something that occurred, and Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. As the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible said the man, when he helped him up, the man, when he landed on his feet, the Bible said that his ankle bones received strength. Then the man began to go throughout the world there, going throughout the land there, leaping and going into the temple leaping. But how many know when you begin to look at the name of Jesus, the enemy try to come as a flood against you? But I want to let you know, if the apostles did it, you can do it too. If you present this gospel as they did, power will come unto you. Then we find out that the lame man was healed, and Peter began to preach the gospel and began to, it was a very convicting message, to the point that in chapter number 4, the message was so powerful that the Sanhedrin began to question him. And they said, we perceive that Peter and John are unlearned and ignorant, but we take in note that they have been with Jesus. And we find out in chapter number 4, Peter began to say that, amen, the reason why this man is healed is because the name of Jesus was applied. And we found out that Peter began to tell the Sanhedrin, which consists of a group of 70, amen, they were the ruling factor of the religious entity of Palestine. And we found out there was a group of 70 of scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees, but it was headed by the high priest. They began to question him, and that's where Gamaliel, he was a part of that group. And they began to question him and said, do we not command you not to preach nor teach in that name? Peter said, sir, I rather obey God than man. And he said, amen. He began to say in chapter number, verse number 12 of chapter number 4, he said that there's no other name given unto heaven whereby we must be saved in the name of Jesus. If you notice here, just digressing for a moment, that the book of Acts always brought forth the gospel. You know what Paul said? He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to every man that believes, first to the Jew and then to the un-Jew or the Greek. We got to understand, ladies and gentlemen, saints of God and friends, that the gospel is the power of God. That's talking about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the reason why I'm pointing that out is because this is what the Acts of the Apostles did. They went their way preaching the name of Jesus, how he lived, how he died, how he rose, and for our sins. And then he said not only to the Jews that he gave offered this message of salvation and reconciliation back to God through Jesus, but also the non-Jews. So now we find out that the gospel was continuing to be spread. Peter was preaching. Peter was really, he was on a roll. He was calling and great miracles was going on. Then we find out in chapter number 5, the fear of the Lord began to come in their midst. Because some of us know, some of us are good with lying. But how many know that if you get around people of God and you're lying all the time, you're going to be lying against the Holy Ghost and you might get struck down. That's what happened to Ananias and Sapphira in chapter number 5. Amen. What they would do, they would bring what they had sold, they would bring it and lay it at the feet of the apostles, and the apostles would distribute to such that have need of. That's why when someone had money, everybody had money, because they had all things in common in the book of Acts. And we find out that Ananias and Sapphira had a particular portion that they were going to give, but then they plotted not to give it all. And so they got before Peter thinking that Peter is not going to know nothing, because what you don't see is what you don't know. But let me tell you something, God will give you a spirit of discernment, but you got to be in the will of God. And so Peter said, you didn't lie to me. What you saying you don't give to me, you lied to the Holy Ghost. So God knocked out one of them, and then the other companion came in and tried to do the same thing. And he said, we picked up your husband and buried him. The same one we're going to bury, the same men are going to pick up and bury you. And so what it did, it brought forth fear and respect and reverence to the Lord. Great miracles were occurring. And like I said before, Peter's shadow began to heal the sick. He was beginning to do work greater than what Jesus did, because Jesus said, you can do works that I do and greater works. Can you do? And then amen. And so God began to bless in a mighty way. We find out in chapter number 6, the first deacons were established. We find out that the apostles were distributing things, but it found out it was taking them away from their supplication and prayer time to God. So what he told the people, he said, I tell you what, we can't be waiting these tables. We can't be giving out these things and trying to settle these arguments and bickering. He said, I want you to go among yourselves and pick out 7 men. First of all, you had to have a good report. And then he said, I want to know that I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and that with wisdom. So we see here that the establishment of the first deacons, we find out that Philip and Stephen were the first of those 7 deacons that were selected. So then we finally go on to chapter number 7, where Deacon Stephen began to preach to the children of Israel. And he took them all the way from the time of Abraham and brought us from Abraham to Jesus. Talked about how Jesus came down 42 generations and talked about how they were stiff-necked and how they rejected Jesus. And how many know when you begin to preach Jesus and people get mad at you, they want to bite you? See, that's what I'm telling you. But see, that's what they did to Stephen. The Bible said they gnashed their teeth on Stephen. But Stephen didn't get mad and curse people out like some of us do. He said they tossed him out of the city, and they began to stone him. Do you not know when they started stoning him? He said, the Bible said he looked up in the heaven, the heavens opened, and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now, most of the time, the Bible says Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God. But I dare you to give God the praise. Jesus will stand upon you and give you a round of applause, because Jesus recognized when you're representing him. And amen. All so right. He stood on and Stephen died. But he didn't know that he left an impact on a particular man by the name of Saul, which is his Jewish name. And later on, we'll find out more about this Saul, whose name eventually became Paul. But so we see that Stephen died after he was the first person to die that preached the gospel in the name of Jesus. Then we find out in chapter number 8, we find out that that Saul began to persecute the church. And we find out that this is where it caused a great migration, because we found out in Acts chapter number 1, verse 8, He said, after ye have received power, after that the Holy Ghost will come upon you, ye will be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria. Now, but I want to let you know, sometimes persecution in your life, sometimes crisis in your life, presents opportunity. Some of you need to stop bickering about what you're going through and start thanking God where
Come
he's
on.
Going to take you. Oh, Lord, we find out that if they would have stayed in Jerusalem, the gospel wouldn't have gone no further in Jerusalem. Some of you leave out churches sometimes and go into the streets, go into the corners, go into
Come
the
on.
Hedges and the highways, go into the hospitals, go into the people where people were lame and sick, go into the jailhouses, and stop praising God only at church, but take it to the streets, take it to the schools, take it to your job, take it to where you need to go, take it among your enemies and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. If the book of Acts can do it, why not can we also? Then we find out in chapter number 8, we find out that great persecution came on the church, which it caused them to migrate and go to other places. And we find out that Deacon Philip left out of Jerusalem and went into Samaria. And we find out that he preached the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. And the Bible said that there was great joy in that city of Samaria, because we found out that before time, there was a warlock and a sorcerer by the name of Simon the Sorcerer. And he began to caused great spellbounding in that area, because he made the people believe that he was some great one. The Bible said both small and great begin to worship this man and said he is a great power of God. But I dare you to go into the devil's den sometime and uproot him with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Come on,
because
come on.
Acts of the Apostles can do it. We can do it too, because we are built upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Deacon Philip went down there. We know he was anointed and appointed and called by God in chapter number 6. But we found out that Deacon just didn't count the money. Deacons just didn't look it over the church. The deacon found a need to preach the gospel of Jesus
come
Christ
on, come on.
In a different city than where he lived. And he went to Samaria and preached the gospel. And the Bible said when he began to preach the gospel of God, the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus, the Bible said that men and women began to hear it and got baptized in the name of the Lord. And they sent for Peter and John to come down and lay hands on them that they could receive the gift of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. But look what happened here. The Bible said that Simon the sorcerer believed the gospel also, and he was baptized, but his motive was wrong. And so what he did when he saw that Peter and John had the power to lay hands on people to speak in tongues, he said, I want that power too. But his motive was wrong. And then Peter rebuked him in the name of Jesus. So we're going on to chapter number 8. We find out there was great joy in the city, and the gospel was spread from Jerusalem to all Samaria and began to move up in and also Judea. And we also find out in chapter number 8 that Deacon Philip went on from Samaria and talked to the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Bible said that the angel began to speak to him and told him to go and talk to the man that was the treasurer of Candace of Ethiopia. And so he asked the man, he said, do you understand what you read it? He said, how can I understand unless someone guide me? And the Bible said he read a particular part of scripture in the prophets, and I believe it's around about Isaiah chapter number 53, verse 7 and 8. He asked Deacon Philip the question. He said, Deacon Philip, he said, did the prophet speak about himself or someone else? And the Bible said, took it from that point of scripture and preached Jesus. And he said, amen. He said, now, we don't know all that he preached, but we know water was involved. He said, here's water. See, here's water. What hindered me from being baptized? He said, I will baptize you if you believe this. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the Bible said that that Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. Now we're going to go into the book of Acts chapter number 9, where Saul, amen, that brought great persecution on the church in chapter number 8. See, some of you, stop worrying about those you talk to. Those people that's giving you problems, your supervisors, your grandmama, your cousins, all you have to do is keep preaching the gospel, and God will pick them up, turn them around, and put them on ground. But the Bible wants to be an example. He said, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father in heaven. Keep on preaching that gospel among your friends and your family. Keep on preaching that gospel around your enemies. God will turn them around. He said, my word will not go out and return unto me void. It will accomplish so whatsoever I send it. And so therefore, if we keep preaching the gospel, your family will be saved. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So we find out that Paul, the Saul, the same one that held the coat of the men that stoned Stephen, Saul, the same one that persecuted the saints, Saul, the same one that breathed out threatenings to the church of God. We find out in chapter number 9, Saul was on his way to Damascus to do great harm to the people of God. But how many understood? Amen. He said, the least that you bother the least of the little ones you bother me. So Jesus met Saul on his way to Damascus. The Bible said there was a light that shined from heaven. Amen. As the brighter than the noonday sun, and knocked me, not off my horse, he knocked me on the ground. And the Bible said that Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why thou persecutest thou me? He said, it's hard to kick the trick against the prick. He said, who are thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecuted. He said, it's hard to kick against the prick. He said, Lord, what would you have for me to do? He said, I want you to get up and go where you're going, but instead of you going to hurt somebody, I want you to hear from someone that I want you to hear to tell you what you must do. And the Bible made known that Jesus began to talk to Ananias, and Ananias said, Lord, Saul is a bad man. He's been persecuting the church and doing bad to us. But look what Jesus said unto Ananias. He said, I want you to go because I got him praying now. And he said that Saul is a vessel, a chosen vessel or instrument unto me. And he will proclaim my name among the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel. And I will show him much things that he must suffer for my name's sake. And the Bible said that, amen, after Ananias began to relate to him what the Lord said, the Bible said the scales fell off his eyes, and he got baptized and got the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said that he went straightway into the synagogues preaching Christ, the Son of God. But not only that God was dealing with Saul, but then we pick up in chapter 9 where Peter would begin. He raised someone up from the dead, a little girl from the dead. He also helped somebody that was healed somebody that was a paralytic, someone that was paralyzed. Peter began to continue the work in chapter number 9. Now let's move on to chapter number 10. He said now that ye shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria. So we see that he helped, that he blessed with the gospel. He blessed the city of Samaria. We see that he went on and helped the Ethiopian eunuch. But now we see going on to another region of Judea. Caesarea. We find out that there was a family there that was non-Jews. We find out that there was a man by the name of Cornelius. And the Bible said he was a devout man. This man gave an arm, and he was well-respected in the community. I don't give a care you've been to church all your life. I don't give a care that you're religious-minded. You have to be brought to the truth. He said, when you find the truth, walk therein. He said, know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And he said, the Spirit of God's word is truth. We find out that Cornelius knew God, but he did not know Jesus. And we find out that he was fasting and praying, and the Bible said that the angel heard his prayer and came and said, he said, Cornelius, he said, your prayers have went up for God, before God as a memorial. He said, God has heard your arms. He saw what you know. He said, what I want you to do now, I recommend you to go to a man in Joppa by the name of Simon, whose surname is Peter, and he will tell you what you must do. At the same time, he was going. He was sending men to Joppa to look for Peter. At the same time, God was dealing with Peter and told Peter a sheet came down right in front of him, and it had all these unclean beasts representing the Gentiles. He said, and the Bible said that Christ told him, he said, rise, Peter, rise, slay and eat. He said, Lord, I don't eat nothing that's common. The Lord said, don't you say what I cleanse that is common. God is Jesus Christ. Was opening up his understanding that I'm not just going to deal with the Jews, but I'm going to deal with the non-Jews as well. And we find out that when the men came to Peter, they stayed over, they went back the next day to Cornelius' house. We're talking about chapter 10 now, non-Jews. They went back, Peter went back with them, to where Cornelius and his family was and began to preach the gospel. And the Bible said that Cornelius began to explain to Peter concerning about the vision he had with the angel visiting him. And he said, okay. And Peter said, I perceive that God has no respect of a person. Yes, Peter came to his own, the Jews, and his own received him not. But as many as came to him, to them he gave them power to be sons of God. And let you know that God is fulfilling things. But the Bible was making mention here in chapter number 10 that God was dealing with the Gentiles. And the Bible says in chapter number 10, verse 44, he said, while the word was yet in Peter's mouth preaching the gospel, the Bible said that the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. Amen. We find out that the house, they begin to be saved, and they begin to speak in tongues, and the people that came with Peter, which are Jews, the circumcision, they begin to come down because he heard them speaking in tongues. And then so Peter said, should we hinder them that they should not be baptized in the name of the Lord, seeing that they received the Holy Ghost like we did in chapter number 2, and the Bible said that Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and he stayed with them some years on. Now we're looking at chapter number 11. The Gentiles received the word of the Lord. And we find out in chapter number 11 that we're talking about the place where it was really famous for the Gentile Christians was in the city of Antioch. And we find out in Antioch, verse number 27 of chapter 11, that's where the disciples were first called Christians. If you want to know the origin of your name, you are Christian because in Antioch, in chapter number 11, verse 26, that's where the first disciples were called Christian. I heard a song, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart. I'm happy you see. Lord,
when
I want to be a Christian in my heart. Look what the song says, in my heart. Oh, in my heart, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Yeah, that's right, because chapter number 11, verse 26 says the first disciples of Antioch were called Christians. Let me move on now to chapter number 12. Now we find out that great persecution came because King Herod already killed James, the brother of John, and Herod saw that the people was rejoicing and happy for them killing disciples of the church. And so he was after Peter. But see, you cannot mess with God's people. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. The Bible says we are troubled on every side, but yet we're not in distress. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. We see that they killed James, the brother of John. That's not John the Just now. That's another apostle, but it still was James. And then he went about to put Peter in prison to kill him. But they said after the feast, called it unleavened bread, they were going to wait till after the feast was over to kill Peter. But I don't know about you, but I heard the song say they prayed for me and they had me on their mind. I'm so glad they prayed for me. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed for me. And we find out, amen, the Bible says in the book of Acts here that when Peter was in prison, he was around a quadrant of 16 soldiers that was in the midst. And he was between two in particular. But we understand the Bible said while he was in prison, the Bible said the saints were praying without ceasing. I dare you to let your prayer go forth. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I dare you, when you pray, death will flee from you. When you can pray, it'll destroy the generational curses. If you can pray with a prayer of faith, God will heal your body. He'll strengthen your ministry. Save your family, but we got to pray. He said, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. But you got to pray like the people did, and he will deliver you like he delivered Peter. And we find out that the Bible said that when the saints were praying without ceasing, the Bible said that a light shined in the prison. And we find out that an angel appeared for him. And the angel, amen, tapped Peter on the side, and the chains were loosed. And he said, get up and put on your shoes. We're getting ready to get out of this joint. Peace, I'm out of here. And so the Bible made mention that Peter left the prison and opened the gate and went down the street. And I'm going to let you know, sometimes we in the body of Christ think we're dreaming. Sometimes God brings you out with a mighty stretch out hand. You think you're daydreaming. But
yes.
God is just as real as you dreaming. And we find
yes.
out that Peter thought he was having a vision. He thought he was having a dream. But the Bible tells him he came to himself. He
mm-hmm.
said, this is of the Lord, that the Lord delivered me. Okay, so let me hurry up here. We find out in chapter number 12 that he was delivered from prison by the power of prayer of the saints. And God began to do marvelous miracles and mighty works in chapter number 12. Now we're going to go on further now to chapter number 13. Half finished. And we find out here that we see that there's the first elders, the presbyteries, dealing with commissioning popes to go. We find out that the first elders were established in chapter number 13. And also we find out that Paul began to go forth in great evangelism, as I said earlier, chapter number 1, verse 8. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. We started seeing a decline of mentioning Peter. We begin to see an upcline of Paul's preaching. Paul now he's become not Saul now, he becomes Paul. And he begins to go forth and spread the evangelistic message of God. Here in chapter number 14, we find out that Paul was stoned. And you know when he was stoned, he was left for dead. But Jesus said, I'm going to show him much things that he must suffer for my name's sake. So when he was stoned and left for dead, Jesus said, get up, Paul. I have much more work for you to do. So
All right.
We see that in chapter number 14, the stoning of Paul, his deliverance, spreading the gospel, Paul establishing churches, and the report of his first missionary journey. Now, I want to just digress for a moment. We find out that Paul had a total of 3 missionary journeys. But we find out in his first missionary journey, he wrote no epistles or no letters. We find out in his second missionary journey, he wrote only 2 epistles, which is 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And we find out in his third missionary journey, he wrote the rest of the 13 epistles from A.D. 53 to A.D. 67. But we see here in chapter number 14, he was going about reporting of his first missionary journey. Now we go on to chapter number 15, where there was a dispute going on concerning about the Gentiles living the law. And the Bible made mention that elders were going throughout the land talking about if you don't obey the law of Moses and are circumcised, you are not saved. Shame on you, hallelujah, staying in the law. Shame on you, still living the Sabbath. Shame on you, looking at the law of Moses only, because it's by faith we are saved. And so begin to go about talking about that you must be circumcised, you must have your foreskin cut, and you must obey the Sabbath and the dietary ways of the law. He said, if you don't believe that, you will not be saved. And Peter, the Bible said there was no small dissension here. In
All
other
right.
words, there was great argument.
mm-hmm.
Because Paul said, I don't believe that. He said, I'm a Jew myself, but Jesus commissioned me to be a witness before the kings, the Gentiles, and the children of Israel. He said, it's by faith that you need to be saved and not by the law. But then the elders told Paul, after great disputation, he said, let's go to the elders and the apostles and see what they have to say about the matter. And so the Bible said in chapter number 15, they went up there, and there was great bickering. And so James and Cephas, which is Peter, went with the other elders and the apostles and began to talk about the matter. And we find out that James concluded. He said, now, I'm going to tell you something. We don't want to put something on the Gentiles that is hard for our fathers and us to have kept. He said, what they want, we're going to mandate that they do. We require that they abstain from fornication. It's in chapter 15. Read this when you get a chance. He said, we're going to give a conclusion here. He said, we have made known to you that the Gentiles do not have to live the law. We want them to abstain from fornication, and we don't want them eating meat that's delivered to idols, and we don't want them to eat meat that has a lot of blood in it. So therefore, that's what we tell them to do, and we're going to write a letter to Paul and those traveling with Paul that whosoever try to dispute with them concerning of the law of Moses versus the grace of God, let them know that we have sanctioned that particular law. So we find out that the establishment amen, of the law of God by the way of grace to the Gentiles was established. So then we find out that Paul and Silas and all of them went about preaching the message of the uncircumcision. In other words, we're saved by the grace of Jesus, the faith and grace that was given to us by Jesus Christ and not the law of Moses. Now we're going on in chapter number 16, where the lady, Lydia, the lady that fell full purple, she was converted and baptized. We find out that the Philippian jailer, Paul said, don't kill yourself, you need to be saved. He got converted, him and his family got baptized and converted. And then we find out that Paul was released from prison, the Philippian imprisonment. He was released and he went on. And then chapter number 17, he went forth and preached the sermon on Mars Hill. He said, I see an inscription that talks about the unknown God. But I want to let you know, he said, I have a message unto you. You may not know your God, but I know my God, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom. I want to tell you about the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God that created the heavens and the earth and gave men dominion over the fingers. He said, I'm proclaiming in chapter number 17 to you that don't know God, I'm proclaiming to you the true and the living God, and I want to let you know that this God that I serve and know, he requires for men to repent. Then we go on to chapter number 18. Paul begins to meet Aquila and Priscilla. And see, Aquila and Priscilla were good friends of him, not only in the gospel, but also in his profession. Because watch, Paul was a tent maker. Isn't it nice to be able to witness to people and you have good fellowship with people that not only go to church with you, but also go to work with you?
All right.
But anyway, so he began to talk to me, and that's where Aquila and Priscilla came in. But I like the fact about this, because the Bible talks about in chapter number 18, where this man by the name of Apollos, very well polished and very astute in the word of the prophet. Oh, he knew the scriptures. Oh, my God, he went about, he was from Alexandria. So during that time, Alexandria, that was the metropolis place where you learned, and scholars came from there. You know, great philosophers came out of there. But this man was a Jew that was well-versed in the word and very dedicated in the law and the spirit of liberty. But he did not know about Christ. I'm to tell you, the book of Acts talks about the gospel of Jesus Christ being spread throughout the world. If you don't preach Christ, you need to go into the Acts of the Apostles to find out how they preached this. But we find out that the Bible said that he went into that Apollos went into the synagogue talking about the John the Baptist only in the scriptures and not about Jesus. But look what happened here. I told you that Paul met his friends, the tent makers, Aquila and Priscilla. They were very well versed in the word. They didn't go to a Bible college. They didn't go to a seminary. But they met Jesus by the way of the gospel. And the Bible says when they heard Apollos, they took him to the side.
Oh, yeah, they
said he preached unto him Christ more perfectly.
Yes, Lord,
and we find out that Apollos, as he heard what they said, he said, they know what they're talking about. And he went on to the synagogue preaching Christ and began to persuade Jews in that region. Now we're going to go into verse number, chapter number 19, where Paul begins to meet 12 men that were part of the evangelistic work of John the Baptist but did not know about Jesus. He said in chapter number 19, Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said, we haven't even heard that should there be a Holy Ghost. He said, well, what baptism were you baptized of? He said, we were baptized under John. He said, yes. John barely baptized under repentance. He said, but John also said, listen to him that come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And the Bible said when those 12 men heard that, he said they said they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Paul laid his hands on them, and they began to speak with the heavenly language and prophesy. And so therefore we see the conversion of the disciples of John the Baptist hearing the gospel and becoming converted. So then we go on further now in chapter number 20. It can begin to continue on the mission. Because why? You shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. So Paul did not stay right there. He continued on. In chapter number 20, he talks about the Macedonia ministry and the journey to Jerusalem. And now we go into 21, where Paul was cautious about going into Jerusalem because a prophet prophesied on him and said that you will be put away. You will be put in bonds. But Paul went on anyway, and he went and talked to James at the temple for a little while. But then we find out that he got apprehended or arrested. And he went further on 21 onward to be able to plead his cause on his reason why that he is doing what he's doing. Because Jesus called me to be an apostle and a messenger to the world. We find out in chapter number 22, he continued his defense of the gospel in front of the Jewish crowd, as well the crowds in Jerusalem, and also making known his defense in front of the Sanhedrin, in front of the religious governmental body. He began to tell them, the reason why I'm here is because Jesus stopped me, and he began to persuade me to follow him to preach this gospel. And amen, we begin to go forth in chapter number 23, where he continues to testify of the goodness of the Lord and begin to spread his gospel and the purpose why he came. And then some begin to plot to kill him. And so Paul was rescued, and then he was being tried now before Felix. And we find out that Felix was a Roman procurator, which is actually, you can say, a Roman governor. He was a governor over a particular region in the province of Rome. So he talked to Felix. And then he was tried before Felix. He continued to testify of the goodness of the Lord. And then we find out that in chapter number 23, chapter number 24, he begins to continue to testify to Felix, the governor. And then we find out in chapter number 25, he was tried before Festus. Festus was another acting governor. But the reason why they had Festus, because Festus knew of the Jewish law, and so therefore they wanted him to hear Paul's testimony and his way concerning of his calling. And so then we find out now he goes on and he gets sent in chapter number 25 to King Agrippa. Now, King Agrippa was also considered as Herod Agrippa number 2. Now, he said, why do you want to call those names out? Because Herod number 2, Agrippa number 2, was the great-grandson of Herod the Great that tried to kill Jesus as a baby. That same Herod number 2, his grandfather, Herod Antipas, chopped John the Baptist's head off. Then we find out his father, Herod, killed James in chapter number 12. Now, you know if you got a great-granddaddy that's a ruthless killer. You know if you got a granddaddy that's a ruthless killer. And you know if you got a daddy that's a ruthless killer, 9 times out of 10, you're going to be a ruthless killer. But let me tell you, when God calls you, as no weapon formed against you shall prosper. See, he tried to come against Paul, but I'm going to tell you something. When God got his hands on you, I don't care if your great-granddaddy was a murderer. I don't care if your daddy was a murderer. I don't care if your cousin was a murderer. If Jesus Christ is on your side, he said, if God be for you, he's more than the whole world against you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? So we find out that King Agrippa number 2 had a bad rap because his great-granddaddy was a murderer, his granddaddy was a murderer, and his daddy was a murderer. But when he began to listen to the word of life from Paul, he said, much learning has made you mad. But when Paul got through preaching the gospel unto him and gospel whipping him, we find out in chapter number 26, when he continued to talk to him, this is what King Agrippa number 2 said. He said, Paul, you're speaking so good to me. He said, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. That's why the Lord told you to go and talk and preach this gospel. Don't worry about who hates you. All those haters out there, God will call them to love, because the gospel of the kingdom must be preached. And the book of Acts is a very good example of that. I'm almost finished. And we find out in chapter number 27 that Paul's testimony, his witness during the time of the shipwreck, we find out that 277 souls were saved from the wreckage. Why? Because when Paul was on the ship, the Bible said that an angel came unto him and told him that you have need to go to Caesar. Therefore, you will not die in these waters, and those that are with you will not die. And so Paul got up and told the men. He said, men, shipmen, you should have heard me the first time I told you not to go to deal with this. He said, but I guarantee you. He said, I believe God. He said, I believe what God told me. He said, God promised me that I will not die. So therefore, he said, nobody will be damned in this water. In other words, because I will live, all of you will live also. And we find out after that great wreckage, you got to read chapter number 27 to get the details, because I can't go in there. I'm just summing it up. I can't deal with 27 alone. I've got to talk on. I got to go to 28. But he said that the 277 souls, all of them, were able to be saved from the great shipwreck. That was the testimony of Paul. Then we go on to number 28. 28 talks about Paul's testimony and witness on the island of Malta, on Malta. Now, you said, well, what Malta have to do with the book of Acts? Well, we find out that when they went to this particular island, Paul and the others, they were there with some barbarians. And you know, barbarians can be pretty wild. They don't understand Jesus. They don't understand God. They don't understand man. They don't understand you. That's why the Bible said, follow peace with all men, and holiness without no man shall see the Lord. So he was on this island with the barbarians. And we find out that when Paul and the others were gathering sticks, the Bible said that a serpent, a viperous serpent, bit him. And the barbarians was looking for him to die, because most times when you get bit by a venomous snake, you start swelling up and you start sweating, and the next thing you know, you drop dead. They was looking for this man to die. But I'm going to tell you something. When you're covered under the blood of the Lamb, and when you take the blood of Jesus and you got that transfusion in you, no, and the Bible said this, Jesus said this in the book of Mark. He said that in my name, he said, you can drink up any deadly thing and it will not harm you. He said, you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And we find out that Paul, amen, was gathering sticks, bundles of sticks, and the Bible said that the viperous serpent bit him, but he did not swell up. And then the Bible said that they was astonished, and they began to look at him as some great God, and they began to worship him. But you know what happened? Then we find out Paul went on, and he went into a certain area of the island and began to heal. And then so people began, from all matters of diseases, began to come, and Paul began to heal in that island. And we find out later on he ended up in Rome, and this is where he was in his imprisonment. But even in the midst of him being in prison or being incarcerated, it did not stop him from preaching the gospel. He began to preach the word of God day and night. And the Bible said that some heard him, and others did not hear him. But don't worry about who's not hearing you. He said, my word shall go out and not return unto you void. It will accomplish wherever so I'm sitting. But I love the fact in chapter number 28, because he said he began to tell the Jews that the gospel of the kingdom has been given unto the Gentiles. Isn't that wonderful? To let you know that the book of Acts ends with the note that we that were Jews, we that, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, he says, Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 11, he says, we remember in past times, ye were Gentiles in the flesh. He said, you were called the uncircumcision by that which was called the circumcision made by hands. He said, you have a five-strike rule against you. Amen. Now, you know, here in the state of California, amen, they have a three-strike rule. If you are arrested three consecutive times, the third time you are put in from 20 years to life. But the Bible talks about we as Gentiles, we had a five-strike eternal, amen, thing against us. He said in verse number 12, he said, you know it in past times, ye were Gentiles. He said, you're not only Gentiles in the flesh. He said, you were without Christ, number one. Number two, you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Number three, you were strangers of the covenant of promise. Number four, you was without hope. And number five, you were without God in this world. He said, at that time, he said, now you that were afar off are brought nigh unto Christ by the blood. And he said, he has made our peace and made both Gentile and Jews one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition. Hallelujah. I feel the anointing of the apostles' doctrine being in the phone. And he said, now, He said, now we are all together. We all got access to God through the Spirit. I dare you to pray to the Lord in the Spirit. I dare you to build up your most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost. If you pray in the Spirit, God will hear you. Don't be afraid to name Jesus. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous will run therein and be saved. Defeatism in your mind. And that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew your strength. Stand up and be a man. Stand up and be a woman. Your ministry is not folded. Amen. Your mission is not complete yet. God got a work for you. But you got to be built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So what you got a bad record? So what your family curse you? So what your wife left you? So what your children don't respect you? But hold on to God.
Hold on to
the apostles' doctrine. He will bring you out. He'll bring you out of jail. He'll bring you out of hell. He'll bring you out of your mind. He'll lift up your low self-esteem and cause you to go on. But he said, go in the power of the Lord. And then in my conclusion, He said in the book of Ephesians, we're no longer strangers.
No foreigners.
He said, and we are built.
Upon the foundation.
Oh, Lord.
Come on.
He said, we're built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles.
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Ladies and gentlemen, children of God, preachers and teachers of the word, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, we must hold on to the book of Acts. Yes, preach Matthews. Yes, preach Mark. Yes, preach Luke. Yes, preach John. Preach the Pauline letters. Preach the general letters. Preach prophecy, book of Revelation. Preach it. But don't leave out the book of Acts. That's the history of the church. Amen. That's the missionary mindset of the church. That's the cradle of the church. That's the origin of the church. And if you want to get power, you got to read the book of Acts. You got to read, amen, the Jerusalem witness. Amen. From chapters number 1, verse 1, to chapter number 8, verse 4. Then you need to go on further to chapter number 8, verse 5, to chapter number 12, verse 25. From chapter number 13 to chapter number 28. And I guarantee you, saints of God, if you can get action to your spirit, you will be victorious. God bless you. Thank you.
Jesus.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
I'm through.
You ain't through. you're not through. You might be through, but the Holy Ghost ain't through.
Lord have mercy.
Hallelujah.
I feel anointing on the phone. I feel anointing in the airway. I feel the power of deliverance.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Claim your deliverance right now. Claim your ministry right now. Claim it in the name of Jesus. I will succeed.
Finished. Lord God. Glory.
Step out on me. Step out on me and see what I deliver you. Step out on me.
Yes, Lord.
I got to get up.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm opening the line. We got about 17, 16 callers on the line. This man of God is in the Los Angeles area. That fire is everywhere. God is a God of fire. The same fire he's feeling in Los Angeles, I'm feeling it too. Hey, you can feel it in North Carolina. You can feel it in Oklahoma. Hallelujah. You can feel it in Texas. Hey, you can feel it in Michigan. You can feel it in Florida. This Holy Ghost, is for all those that believe. All those that confess Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, I bless you today, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the man of God. Thank you for the conclusion of this series. Hallelujah. Which one of you all could have wrapped up 28 chapters in an hour's time? In an hour's time where you was able to glean something. In an hour's time where you was able to feel the power of the Holy Ghost moving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God can do anything. 28 chapters. It took us about 7 to 8 weeks to get through this. Hallelujah. But he got through it in an hour's time. Hallelujah. He summed up the Acts of the Apostles. From chapter 1 to chapter 28. Most of you all that's on the line today, you've been with us through the entirety of this series. Some of you all may not have the Holy Ghost. Some of you all may have not been baptized. Hallelujah. But this series should have stirred you up. Those that are listening live on the internet right now, God Almighty, we have some that followed us through this series, Dr. Singleton. Some may have just tuned in for the first day. Hallelujah. But if you tune in for the first day today, then you heard the summation of the Acts of the Apostles. You heard the man of God say, we can preach the Gospels. We can preach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But what about Acts? Hallelujah. God is calling on us to exercise this power. God is calling on us to activate this power. God didn't give us the Holy Ghost, but not the Holy Ghost is the fire that lives within you. God, I thank him for this power today. Hallelujah. Power to lay hands on myself. Power, hallelujah, to know that I can do all things through Christ. This Holy Ghost power. Don't let nobody tell you you can live right without it. You can't live right without it. It's impossible. I don't care how many morals, how much morals, I don't care how much integrity you got. I don't care how much money you have. You can't live holy without this power. You can't live holy without the Holy Ghost. God, they want to say the Holy Spirit, but that's all right. But I know one thing, hallelujah, there has to be some evidence. And the evidence is you shall speak in another tongue. If you never spoke in another tongue, you don't have it, baby. If you haven't changed your wicked ways, if you have not repented, hey, glory to God. Oh, God. This man preached here today. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm talking about the conclusion. The conclusion of the Acts of the Apostles. God told me to get. Hallelujah. He said, talk about. I said, what do we do? Our last subject was, is Jesus enough? I said, Lord, where do we go from here? He said, I want you to talk about the Acts of the Apostles. I looked at that, I said, 28 chapters, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, I'm going to be tied up for about a month and a half, Winnie. We only took three pauses with Pastor Hammond and preached 2 days, and a life coach came on for one day. But we've been on this line. Let me tell you, I got to tell y'all, listen, I tell you this every time I'm on this line just about. God has a record. God has a record, And from January the 21st up until March today is March 6th, God have a record. And if you have tuned in any time from January the 21st until today, guess what? This record that God has is going to testify against you. It's going to speak up against you. Hallelujah. It's going to speak for you, too, if you live right. But if you ain't living right, God going to pull out the record. And he's going to say, didn't you hear Elder Gates preach? Didn't you hear Apostle Johnson preach? Didn't you hear Evangelist Brucilla? Didn't you hear Minister Spates? Hallelujah. How many more was on here? Dr. Kenneth Burford. Dr. Kenneth Burford was on the line today, Winnie. He stayed on about 40 minutes, and he had to get off. Hallelujah. Evangelist Cummings, she's on the line. I've had so many people come on this line and talked about the Acts of the Apostles. This was our Acts. These were the apostles that walked with Jesus, that was chosen by Jesus. Ah, God, I bless you today. Thank you, Dr. Singleton, for coming on this line today. Hallelujah. And concluding this awesome series, we're talking about the Acts of the Apostles. Hallelujah. It's already been recorded. Hey, we've had some speakers, some dynamite. Minister Michael Davis out of Oakland, California. We have had some wonderful speakers. Evangelist Brucilla coming on this line talking about the Acts of the Apostles. Oh, I bless him today, hallelujah. I don't know where we're going from here. The lines are open. Hallelujah, and I'm going to start at the top. I don't know, Faithful might be busy. I don't see a line open. Hallelujah, but I'm going to start at the top, and I'm going on down. My sister Dawn is the first one on the switchboard. God bless you, Dawn. If you have any questions and comments, you're welcome to do so at this time. Hallelujah. Dawn. All right, moving on. I thank God for Sister Ruby. Evangelist Joshua was also on the line. I seen her earlier, so she was on the line, Dr. Singleton, her and Dr. Burford. Amen. Sister Ruby, God bless you for hosting, helping us out these past 2 weeks. We thank God for you.
God bless
you.
Sister
Ruby. You know what I'm going to
say. Oh, praise the Lord, everybody. And Dr. Singleton, you know, it's just, I just love the Jesus inside of you. And, saints, I have been, he comes on the broadcast all the time, but, saints, I have been in a leadership conference with Dr. Singleton. Two or three times, I think, Evangelist has told him up here to Stockton, and he has, you know, done the broadcast. And the same one you hear here is the same one in person. So God bless you. I'm just excited. I'm about ready to fall all over and don't do nothing. But God bless you, Dr. Singleton, for coming on as Evangelist Bernard called you Winnie. She done got me with Winnie. But
God
bless you.
That's my name. Say it.
Been a blessing because you know what? I felt the anointing all the way up and stopped. So pray my Lord.
Wow.
Amen. Ella Gates and then Evangelist coming, then Sister Pam. I'm going straight down the line where I don't miss anybody. Amen. Ella Gates, God bless you.
Man, God bless you, Dr. Singleton. God bless you, sir, for the word of God and for just the ministry gift that God has given you and gifted the body of Christ with. I just want to say very briefly, you know, with the ministry of the gospel, if you did not have or if you have not yet received the Holy Ghost, because the gospel was preached, you can receive it today.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Winnie, this young man is out of Oklahoma City, and he's some kind of preacher. I tell you, I tell him all the time. I say, are you sure you're not kidding the Bishop Lambert Gates? So Winnie is in the organization with Bishop Lambert Gates, Elder Gates. So Winnie, this is Elder Gates, and I tell him all the time he has an anointing like Bishop Lambert Gates. I say, you got to be kidding the Bishop Gates. Hallelujah. So he's a wonderful preacher and teacher, Winnie. Yes. God bless you, Elder Gates. Amen. Evangelist comments, and then the sister
God
Kim.
Bless you. God bless you. You know my heart.
And then sister Minister Mims. Go ahead, Evangelist comments.
You know my heart burned within listening to that word of God. Even Cece got a little bit of it.
Oh.
Yeah, he was saying he need to be doing that and more. I say he is. I said just
all
wait.
Right.
He gonna prophesy. Well, something was already in place.
That's all right.
We want to thank God for the young man of God. I've watched him grow, and now he's teaching me. He's
all
teaching
right.
the 22 teachers. And I mean, he's anointed. He opens up that word of God so powerfully. He opened up Daniel, and I saw Daniel like I never saw Daniel before. He parallels Daniel's second chapter with Daniel 9 chapter. Let me tell you, it was awesome. So we just thank God for the word of God, for the men and women of God. We thank God for this, for Evangelist Adrian Bernard, and just all that God is doing for all the listeners. And we just bless the Lord that the word of God is being taught and preached powerfully. It was hard. Did he walk through that egg? Thank you.
Yeah, he walked through it.
He walked through it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I just thank God for the radio broadcast, and just thank God for all of you and all those that listen in. And
Amen.
And can't really, we've got to say something about Sister Ruby, Sister Faithful. We thank God for them. They're just so sweet. You know, they just so sweet. In Jesus' name. God
bless
you all.
Amen. 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 Evangelist Cummings is in the same church with Dr. Singleton, so she knew him as a little boy. She know him. Amen. Amen. And it's good when you have somebody else that can testify of who you are. Amen. Because there's always going to be a witness. That's why we got to let our light so shine. Amen. Sister Kim, thank you. She's been with us, too, throughout this series, I believe. So God bless you, Sister Kim. Is that Sister Kim?
Yes, ma'am.
God bless you.
God bless each and everyone that's on the line. God bless the man of God. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
I'm at work
thank
and
you.
I just cannot hold myself. Lord, have mercy. Just thank you, Jesus, for the word. Thank you for the anointing. I can just feel God's presence. I was just... Oh, thank you. Holy, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you. All I can say is thank you, Jesus, and praise God. I mean, it was powerful. It was powerful. And I've been waiting all day for 3 o'clock. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. We're going to Minister Mims. God bless you. Then Apostle Johnson.
Praise the Lord. I give honor to God. I give honor to Evangelist Bernard. I give honor to Mother Spades, to the Speaker of the Hour, to everyone in their rightful place. I thank God for that word on today. I thank God for how the Holy Spirit used him to go through the word and to break it down so that we could understand. I thank God. Everyone has a interpretation of the word, but you can never go wrong when the Holy Spirit is using you. So, man, God, I just thank you for allowing the Holy Spirit to use you and to allow the Holy Spirit to just break it down and just minister to our spirits and minister to our hearts. I thank God because I truly needed that. I tell you, I know without a shadow of a doubt that my breakthrough is here. I know without a shadow of a doubt that God is right there with me. I know without a shadow of a doubt that it is here because I tell you, I have a testimony, but I give God glory because on yesterday our oven caught on fire, and I thank God that we're still able to use that stove. I thank God that no lives were lost. I thank God
Come
that
on.
We still have our houses. I thank God that our neighbors are still intact. I thank God for that.
Yeah.
And then right after that, within the same hour, my toilet began to overflow. But I thank God because he is still good. He is still a keeper. He is still in control no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like. I know that my breakthrough is here. I thank God for the word.
Lord.
I thank God for him ministering to my soul. I thank God for him ministering to my spirit. I thank God for the encouragement. So, man of God, I tell you to continue to allow the Lord to use you as he gives it. Whatever it is that he gives you, you give it to us. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't water it down. Don't turn away. Don't try to just allow him to use you in a manifestation that he desires in Jesus' name. And I just ask everyone to continue to pray my strength in the Lord. Pray for my family. Pray that we continue to sing, and no matter what it look like, no matter what it feel like, but I know my breakthrough is here in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Minister Ma'am. Amen, amen. Now, this is Apostle Johnson. This is another young man, Winnie, out of Dr. Singleton, out of North Carolina, that has just been so supportive and so faithful. And, I mean, he knows this word also, and he has ministered also on this series a couple of times. So God bless you, Apostle Johnson.
Well, we just greet you with the grace and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Certainly it's an honor and a privilege to be able to hear a great man of God express the word of God and to be able to be excited about just who God is and to deliver the verdict. I don't say deliver the word. I say you delivered the verdict. You had to bring the verdict in. You know, the jury had been put out and we had been put the word out, but God had you to come on in and give the verdict. And if you had this thing together, it's not intact, then you're not going to be able to walk in the power that you need to walk in without the power of the Holy Ghost. So truly, we just honor God
like
for the Spirit of God in your life. We honor God for everything that he's doing in and around your life. We just pray, God, that he would continue to take you higher and take you in the higher rims and deeper depths, that he would restore back the virtue that you've given out, and that he would allow his anointing just to stand boldly into the more. For this is the hour that he's going to do great things in your life, and we're just excited about it for you. We're excited about how God has allowed his Holy Spirit to flow through you and the demonstration of his power and his anointing. And so we just honor God for that, because it's just been awesome. It's been great. It's been amazing to see and to hear what God is up to within this time. So I just ask that you would continue, man of God, to stay on the course that God has given you, because yet the best is yet to come. The greater is coming to your life. The arena that God is going to put you in, you have eyes have not seen. He hasn't entered into the heart of man, the things that God has in store for you. So you just hold on for the final verdict. It's on the way. It's on the way. It's on the way. I had to tell you today it's on the way, because this is the season and we got to stay excited, man of God. And I'm excited about the word that came out of your belly. I'm excited about you letting God just use you and let it overflow like never before. So we just praise you. Praise God for you on today and continue to lift you up. And we just ask that you would continue to keep us lifted up and continue to keep this journey. And we just thank God for you on today.
Thank you,
amen.
Apostle. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. We're going to Prophetess Sharia King. God bless you, woman of God.
God bless you, Evangelist Bernard. Oh, my God, I got on at the end. Oh, God, and all I can say is power.
Power. Power.
Oh, my God. I'm so speechless right now. I can't even really say anything, because he came back and he confirmed a lot of things that was spoken on today earlier when I was on the prayer line. But I thank God for you, man of God. I thank God for you, Evangelist Bernard, for inviting us to Blog Talk Radio, because this has really been a blessing. Also to the man of God, oh my God, continue to preach that powerful word, oh my God, because that little end snippet that I got, it was awesome.
Thank you, man.
And your last name is Singleton, and I am connected. My grandmother is a Singleton.
What?
Oh, my God. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God. My grandmother is a Singleton. Ooh, if we are, I thank God for the power.
Lord, Tabasha.
I thank God for the powerhouse because it runs down.
Yes, God.
I thank God if he is. If he ain't, I still claim him. God, have mercy. That was powerful. That little bit that I got. Oh, my God. It makes me want to go get in the book of Acts. Even the more.
Hallelujah.
God bless your name, God. Oh, God,
you're
just so worthy.
Thank you. Amen, amen. We're going to go to Sister. God bless you, Prophetess King.
God bless
you. We're going to have you, Prophetess King. We'll be speaking for us real soon. Amen.
Amen.
So you all stay tuned. We're going to Sister Barbara Williams. And then we haven't heard from our co-host, Sister Faithful. So let's go to Sister Barbara Williams. I tell you, we've had about 23, 24 people in and out of the line, in and off the lines today. So God, I just want to thank God and give a shout out to Patriot Greg. He's always been so faithful, and he comes in the chat room and he listens to this broadcast faithfully. Amen. So we just thank God for him tuning in the chat room. I don't know if there was anybody else in there. Amen. God bless you, Sister Barbara.
Just want to give a shout out and praise the Lord to everyone. And
hallelujah.
Thank the Almighty for the word that came forth through Dr. Singleton. And just want to say praise the Lord.
Amen, amen. Well, we're going to Sister Faithful. She's been so sweet and so kind and have hosted you all and pulled me on out. So I'm at the end of my journey right now, but it's okay. Amen. So then we're going to go back to Pastor Dr. Singleton. Amen. God bless you, Sister Faithful.
Amen, everyone. Amen. I'm over here just excited, empowered, inspired. I'm over here in the middle of doing some work, but at the same time, I'm like, my God, what a powerful insight it is and a journey it has been. And I'm just blessed. I'm blessed that this is truly knowledge that needs to be known. You know what I'm saying? The background that we're going into, especially the writings of the gospel about Acts and going into the gospels. If you haven't read Acts, if you don't know Acts, I thank God for my parents. You know, I know it, but if you haven't read it, I know they're going to read it now. If you don't know the Holy Spirit and have the Holy Spirit in your life, you know you want it now. That's all I got to say. So get with one of these leaders and get led. Amen. Get led. But you need it, my God. I'm empowering. Power. I will succeed. Take that, devil. I'm ready. Go ahead. You did that thing.
We got to find that song. I told they have a song when it called You Did That Thing. We thank God for
He did that, thankful. And God used them.
Amen, amen. Well, you know, you just got to introduce Faithful to Dr. Singleton because, you know, he's doing some things. He's an author. I want you all to know he's an author. He's a teacher. He's a scholar. He is a true student of the word. So this was Faithful first time hearing him. Amen. So God bless you. Amen. So we're going back to Dr. Singleton. Dr. Singleton, I truly like to thank you. I want you all to know, too, he is one of my mentors. Not one. He is the chief mentor in my life. So before, well, on the broadcast, I don't have time to really converse with him and tell him because sometimes God will just give me something at the spur of the moment. But when I'm going out on a major trip, and just say I'm doing a 2 or 3 day revival, I call and I confer with Winnie, and truly he opens up my understanding. And you know, I'm not a person to be going all into the location and the place and the time. And you know, Winnie, Hebrew and the Greek and all, Winnie gives you all of that. And I said, well, Winnie, Dr. Singles, I don't need the Greek and all that. I'm going into a little simple place. So guess what? I'm going to define what I have to, and I'm going to let the Holy Ghost speak. And many times, you know, you have to be prepared. But when you go on these speaking engagements, if God has called you to evangelize, I tell you, you got to study, and you have to be prepared. But as you get there, you know, even though you may have a thought, God may not even want that thought to be even uttered that day. So when you get there, God, the Holy Ghost begin to speak. And it's happened to me so many times. I have my notes and I'm prepared. And then the Lord, the Holy Ghost begin to speak, and he'll take you a whole nother way. You still can stay on course with some of the notes that you have. Oh, but when the Holy Ghost begin to speak, then you're no longer yourself. Hallelujah. But we got to know, too. Even when the Holy Ghost speaks, the Bible say the Holy Ghost ain't unseemly. It's subject to the Spirit. You know, you got to be subject to it. Oh, the Holy Ghost took over. I couldn't stop. No, you got to stop because the Spirit is subject. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Winnie. So we thank God for him joining us today. And those of you that are out in radio land that is listening live to this broadcast, we want to certainly salute you and thank you for staying with us throughout the entirety of this series. I mean, 28 chapters, and we have given you all some of the best. We have given you some young ministers and the gospels, apostles, prophets, ministers, evangelists, prophets that have come on this line and have done an exceptional job talking about the book of Acts. So we just certainly commend each and every one of you all that has contributed. It has been an awesome series. I feel like, you know, when you're getting ready to say goodbye, you know, I feel like I don't even want to say goodbye. Holly, I feel like it's more. There's some more, Lord. So I'm like, Lord, where do we go from here? What's the next step, Winnie, Dr. Singleton? Where do we go from the book of Acts? I don't even know. Amen. But I'm going to give it back to Dr. Singleton, and I'm going to let him conclude this day. But I just, my heart is getting a little sad. I'm like, Lord, I enjoyed this. I enjoyed scheduling people, and I hadn't spoke since the first week of this series until this week. I want y'all to know that. So y'all don't have to say, oh, she preaching every day. I could preach every day if that was a desire of mine, but that's not my desire. My desire is to have a platform where other people can come and minister, because guess what? They have different souls assigned to different people. I can't reach everybody. Dr. Singleton, with all his vast knowledge and the wisdom that he has, he can't reach everybody. There are some souls that have been assigned just for you. Amen? Amen. So, Dr. Singleton, back into your hands.
First of all, I just want to say I thank the Lord for the New Destiny family. You know, what came to my mind when all that anointing and everything was going forth and the responses, I said, you know what? This is called Team Jesus. Team Jesus. And I like the fact because we're promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said it so eloquently. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And he said, if this gospel be hid, it's hid from those that are lost. But I thank the Lord that we are compassed around with us with so great a cloud of witnesses that we're able to lay aside every weight and sin so we've been set upon us. But, you know, the wonderful thing about it, I did an experimentation in my laboratory of ministry, which I call it. In other words, laboratory ministry is what you experiment on your own before you take it out. All your experimentation, all your observation, all your hypothesis in the faith, you do it in your laboratory that when you get enough experiments and you feel like it's accepted enough, then you can take it out. And the Bible says your gift will make room for you. So I talk to people across the country. They give me calls, and I do counseling and do mentoring. And I find that sometimes I can talk to people like 4 or 5 hours. And
he can do that too.
The Bible said that we're in heavenly places in Christ. Therefore, there's no time limit in Christ. It's just that it's sad that we have to get back into the time elements. That's what makes it so crucial. You say, oh, my God, I've been talking for 3 hours and I haven't ate. You know. The Bible said the joy of the Lord is our strength. So I want to thank everyone. I really appreciate everyone from the apostles to the teachers. in this time and in this phase of our lives where God has put into us the will and to do of his good pleasure. And so thank you for allowing me to be a part, and I'll always be indebted to all of you. Thank you, in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. I tell you, it has been a wonderful, wonderful series, and what I'm going to do, I'm trying to work with someone and see if we can get, and I know this is like 25 days and 28 chapters that, you know, we would have to condense and maybe just take out some of the highlights of each speaker and have it in a CD set. That's
wow.
That's something I would like to do, because this has been a powerful series, and it has been a life-changing series. And I tell you, sometimes we skip over different chapters, and, you know, we go to our favorites. You know, everybody like chapter 1, verse 8. Everybody like Acts chapter 2, 38 and 39. And then we'll go to Paul, and that's it. But what about in between there? So, you know, this has been wonderful, and I didn't know, Winnie, how the Lord was going to bring all of this about. But, you know, I enjoy facilitating and coordinating events. I have a passion for that. And it's a gift. It's a gift. So when you see me inviting people up, it ain't because I ain't got nothing to do, because I do. And as I said earlier, I have so many family members that's in ministry that could come on this line that I haven't even extended an invitation to. But Dr. Singleton, we're intertwined with one another, and we have good understanding. And, you know, I help him and he helped me, and, you know, I have some areas where I may be a little weak in, and then he has some areas where I'm a little stronger in. So we are helping to one another. So I want you all to remember Dr. Winston Singleton. And those of you that are listening live on the internet, if you need a conference speaker, if you need someone to talk about leadership, if you need someone to talk about the beginning of the church, the New Testament and Old Testament survey, and so much more, this man teaches the Bible. So I want you to know you can get in touch with him. Go to greaterenrichmentministries.com, and that is his website, and you'll see a little bit more about him. And if you want his personal phone number, I will certainly be happy to give that to you. He's not a stingy person with his gospel. As he said, you call him, get prepared to be on the line for about 45 minutes, and that's minimum, because he will open up your understanding. Won't he do it, Sister Ruby? Amen. He will certainly do that. So we just thank God for this awesome series. I hate to say goodbye. I really hate to say goodbye. I have tears in my eyes right now just thinking of all what God has done for us as we delivered each and every day. And I want you to know, Elder Gates, thank you so very, very much for being a contributor and being a speaker on this line. Apostle Johnson, Sister Ruby have done an awesome job hosting these past 2 weeks. And Sister Faithful, she's just what her name says. She has been faithful. And I mean, it's not a day that goes by that she don't communicate with me. And that's what togetherness and unity is about. It's not about one trying to supersede the other, or somebody trying to compete who's the best preacher, who's the best teacher. Right. Well, all Sister Ruby won't know, are you the best soul winner? Ha! If you can win some souls, hey, that's what's going to elevate you in the kingdom. Living holy is going to elevate you. That's what's going to take you to the next level. Not how great you can preach or teach, but how holy can you live? Because God is looking at our life. You can preach the best sermon and then go right out of preaching and go and ho-hop. And go right out of preaching and go tell a lie. Go right out of preaching and kill somebody. So it's not about how good you can preach, how good you can teach. It ain't about definition, text, and context. Can you live holy? Can you love your fellow man? Can't let me stop. Amen. But I Winnie, now don't call me after this broadcast because he's going to critique me because I'm telling you, he still has so much more in his reservoir. He has so much more in his arsenal. So he didn't give you all of it. But afterwards, later on in the day, he's going to call me and he's going to unleash some more. Amen. Amen. So we're going to go. And we're going to have Elder Gates is still on the line. And I just love Elder Gates. I'm just going to have him. We have a few more live minutes. And I'm just going to have him to pray for Dr. Singleton. And also to pray for all of us that have been partakers of
Amen.
This awesome series. And pray that the Lord will lead and direct us. Now, I want you to know tomorrow is like a little free day, so we don't know what the Lord has planned. But Friday, we have Pastor Edward Hamilton of Provoke to Purpose Ministries out of Houston, Texas. And he has agreed to come on when he's available on Fridays. So we're calling these Fridays Provoke Fridays. So we're going to provoke you to live right. Winnie, we're going to provoke you to live right. We're going to provoke you to get the Holy Ghost. We're going to provoke you to the water. Hallelujah. We're going to provoke you to forgive your brothers and your sisters in Christ. So this Friday is Provoke Fridays. And tomorrow we'll just wing it and see how the Lord go. But I just hate to say goodbye. Amen. We out of our live time, but we on recording time. So that's okay, faithful. It ain't over till it's over. Amen. So Elder Gates, God bless you.
And so, Father, we do magnify you. We do glorify you, oh God. We give you praise tonight, today. We thank you, God, for all that you have done. We thank you, God, for the impartation of your word. We thank you, God, for the ministry of your spirit. We thank you, God, for the fellowship of the saints. We thank you, oh God, for what our hearts have felt, what our minds have, what our ears have heard, and what our minds have received. We thank you, oh God, that the word has been sown into good ground. We thank you, oh God, for the manservant that you used, yes, Lord, to spread the seed of the word of God. We thank you, oh God, that you are protecting this man, that you're shielding him and surrounding him with favor like a shield in the name of Jesus. We lift him up before you, oh God. Yes, Lord, crown him. Yes, Lord, with favor. Crown him with your anointing. Crown him, God. Hallelujah, God. Speak his whisper his name, hallelujah, God, among the authorities in the name of Jesus. God, we pray, yes, Lord, that the ministry gift, God, would explode out of him. That the ministry gift, yes, Lord, would push him in places that he never thought possible. Yes, Lord, that the ministry gift that is in him, Lord, to teach the word, to impart the word, Lord, to make the word plain. We pray, oh God, that the gospel that is in him, yes, Lord, would cause men and women everywhere to be saved, to be delivered, to be healed, to be set free, to be filled and baptized with the Holy Ghost. I pray, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God, that the man of God, as he is a disciple and an apostle in his own right, yes, Lord, I pray, yes, Lord, that he would not be afraid any time and ever, God, to preach and teach your word. Yes, Lord. Make him instant in season and out of season. Make him, God, to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort with doctrine, with all long suffering. We pray, oh God, that he lives by the same gospel that he preaches, not just spiritually, but naturally also. Yes, Lord. We pray, God, that finances come his way, that provision comes his way.
Yes,
we pray, God, that you would bless his wife and his children. We pray that you would bless his ministry, God, on every side in the name of Jesus. And now, God, yes, Lord, for the New Destiny Ministries, and God, for the time of reflection, we pray, yes, Lord, that the people, God, that have gathered around your word, God, would take seriously what we're doing. We would take it seriously. We would take it to heart so that, God, we don't just become just hearers of the word only, but doers of your word. We pray, oh God, that we would put feet to what our faith, yes, Lord, has been ignited to do in the name of Jesus. God, we pray, oh God, that works would follow. Yes, Lord. Mm. That demonstration would follow. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. That signs and wonders would follow in the name of Jesus. So, God, whoever, God, encounters us, God, has encountered the Spirit of God that has been ministered on this line. Yes, Lord. Over the last few weeks in the Acts of the Apostles. And, God, give direction on where we should go next. So we don't say goodbye, but we say next. Yes, Lord.
Next.
Hallelujah. God, show us what's next. God, and take us higher. Elevate us in the Spirit in the name of Jesus. And God, we promise, if you empower us, we promise, oh God, we will have integrity and be faithful, yes, Lord, unto death, that you might give us a crown of life. In Jesus' name and for his sake, thank you so much. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Again, we just want to say thank you to Sister Kim and Prophetess Sharia King, Sister Barbara Williams, and Minister Mims. They have been so faithful coming on this line, and so many more that's not on the line today. I'm surprised many more were, but we had a lot of them on here, but some of them have been with us throughout this series. So we want you all to know that we certainly appreciate you all, and you can certainly listen to this message in its entirety if you go to blogtalkradio.com and just search for New Destiny Ministry. Scroll down to today's date, and you can hear this whole message in its entirety. Amen. So again, Dr. Singleton, we thank you. We appreciate you for all that you have given us. And we love you with the love of God. So we'll see you all tomorrow at 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And remember, Friday, we will have Pastor Edward Hamilton from Provoked.
This keeps me going.
Amen. God bless you. Let this song minister to you before you sign off. I believe. Amen.
I believe. Thank you.
All right. Well, it was playing. Faithful, did you get it? Amen. There it goes. Amen. Hallelujah by James Fortune.
I don't know. One moment. I don't know what's going on. The devil's alive.
That's all right. We done heard this word. You know, he got to come some kind of way. It's on. Hallelujah. It's just not moving. But that's all right. God bless you all. If it comes on, fine. If not, we're going to sign off in about 30 seconds. God bless you all.
Bless you.
See you on tomorrow. All
praise
right,
the Lord.
That's okay. We're going to just end this, faithful.
Praise
the
Lord.
Have a Jesus day.
Have a Jesus day, Dr. Singleton. Love you. Love you. Thank God for you. Amen.
Amen.
Bye-bye.